This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Sean Combs, a.k.a. Diddy, rushed to the hospital in the dark of night. This coincidentally after kidnaps and arsons claims added to his sex trafficking indictment. And now we hear he dangled a model off a 17th floor balcony. And how have Trump Tower and Justin Bieber been sucked into the Diddy vortex? I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
Prosecutors file a superseding indictment in disgraced rapper and music mogul P. Diddy's sex trafficking case, now alleging a conspiracy spanning two decades.
Okay, I'm going to get to that superseding indictment in just one moment. Sounds like a lot of Latin legal jargon, which means basically they added a lot of stuff to the already extensive federal indictment on sex trafficking. I want to get to what we know about Diddy being rushed to the hospital. Listen.
Combs rushed to the hospital hours after prosecutors file a superseding indictment. The rap mogul, now accused of criminal activity spanning two decades and sex trafficking two more victims in addition to ex-girlfriend Cassie Ventura. In addition, more alleged victims are coming forward in lawsuits claiming sexual assault at the hands of Combs.
Somebody finds out they've got a superseding indictment and suddenly their knee hurts. Robert Crispin joining me, private investigator with Crispin Special Investigations. You last saw him parked outside of Diddy's house in Miami. But for my purposes, former federal task force for the U.S. Department of Justice, DEA, Miami Field Division, on and on and on. Robert Crispin, ouch, my knee hurts. You know what? I don't think there are coincidences in criminal law. So he gets a federal superseding indictment, stuff 3 inches up his tailpipe, and suddenly his knee hurts?
Yeah, so I find it interesting that they take him so quickly right after this indictment, and nobody knows what's going on. I mean, a lot of people go to jail, and these take months and months to get motions and releases and security details to get someone to the hospital. A knee injury is not like he was in cardiac arrest and needed advanced life support. I find it very, very interesting that he got out and he got into the hospital. That's very interesting.
Joining me, and in addition to Robert Crispin, basically, who just echoed everything I just said. You know what, Crispin, I'm going to give you time in the corner to think about what you just said. Marjorie Hernandez joining me, West Coast News editor, Daily Mail, who has been all over this, host, writer of the Daily Mail podcast, The Trial of Diddy. Marjorie, really? He gets a superseding federal indictment. First of all, federal indictment, bad enough. Superseding? And Fattis will jump in on this, probably to fight with me. But superseding means they've been thinking a lot about you, and they're adding facts or even charges to your already existing indictment. That's making my knee hurt. So there are a lot of rumors floating, a lot of reports out there, that there are a lot of reasons that Sean Combs, a.k.a. Diddy, a.k.a. Puff Daddy, a.k.a. Puffy, a.k.a. Puff, a.k.a. Love. I could go on. There are a lot of reasons we're hearing that he was raced to the hospital. One being his knee suddenly started hurting. Another is that he got into a fight with an inmate. Another is that he had a diva fit. Which one is it, Marjorie?
Well, my sources on the inside said that one, his knee had been hurting because he was a marathoner for a few years. And all of a sudden, his knee started acting up.
Put her up. Put her up. Hey, I have great respect for Daily Mail, okay? I have great respect for the Trial of Diddy podcast. But Marjorie, you are about to just lose all your credibility. Did you just hear yourself say, don't make me play it back, Marjorie, his knee had been hurting for a while, but then suddenly it really started hurting when he got a superseding indictment?
Well, again, in terms of the timing of this, like you said, it is quite interesting. However, that's what his sources are saying, that it is a knee injury, but we shall see. I mean, the fact that, again, at 10 o'clock, 10 p.m. last Thursday, he was rushed to the hospital. And from what my sources say, that doesn't happen often. It has to be something, an emergency, a cardiac arrest, something like that has to happen in order for them to actually pluck someone to get them into a facility in the hospital right away. Again,
Marjorie, do you know how long it took me to get an inmate root canal? Okay, months. The woman was in such pain. I mean, have you ever had a root canal? It hurts like H-E-double-L. And it took moving heaven and earth to get her to get a root canal. Plus, it was out of my jurisdiction, so I was basically horning in. So, Dr. Duane Hendricks, you know what? We need to go to the expert on this. I've heard that Combs had a diva fit. I guess he didn't like his hamburger that night. Or that he had suddenly a reoccurrence of a knee injury. He's had multiple knee surgeries, but it just really started hurting when he found out about that superseding indictment. Dr. Duane Hendricks is joining me, former associate warden right there at MDC, Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn, former senior warden with the U.S. Department of Justice. Oh, gosh, it goes on and on. Author of Who Are You? See It, Say It, Seize It. But I like that you are with the new DaylightFoundation.com trying to do something positive. But can I talk to you about MDC? You gotta go through hell and high water to get out of MDC for a lot of reasons. You think they let El Chapo get out of his penitentiary to go see about his knee? No, he had to dig an underground tunnel and leave on a motorcycle to get out of there. So why is Diddy getting raced out in the cover of darkness, we keep hearing? Why does he get the cover of darkness? Why does he get taken out because he needs an aspirin? Help me, Dr. Hendricks.
Well, I'll tell you, each inmate gets a physical within 14 days of their arrival in any facility. And I'm sure, based on reports of him having several knee surgeries throughout the years after being a marathoner back in 2003. So this may have been in the works in terms of getting him out for an MRI, because I know that they don't have that that equipment at the institution. And I'll just tell you this, they probably had set this appointment up months, maybe weeks ago. And they set it up for the evening.
To leave at 1 a.m. in the cover of darkness. Okay, you think that's what they set up, Hendricks? Look, I know you're being loyal to MDC, but can we get real? Leaving MDC because your knee hurts? Have you seen that POC, technical legal term? You do know about Weinstein, right? He's got cancer. Okay, and he rarely leaves the jail. Diddy has a knee pain and he gets rushed out in the cloak of darkness? And you think, you're trying to tell me, Hendricks, with a straight face, that yes, they arranged for him to be rushed out at midnight? Yeah, that's normal.
It's not normal. And you're right, it's not normal. But I can tell you, in terms of security, do you want to take him to a regular appointment at 2 o'clock or 1 o'clock in the afternoon when there's hundreds of people getting an appointment and causing
during business hours. Hey, you know what? I like you, but you cannot have your cake and eat it too. You can sit there and say, this was a standard SOP appointment. It had probably been set up for weeks. BS. And you said, this isn't normal. Which one is it, Hendricks?
It's both. It's both. At the end of the day, the fact is this guy supposedly had a spa in his house. He's probably had been getting massages and treatment all the time, and now he's incarcerated. And yeah, he's at the back of the line. I'm sure he was having knee problems back in October and November, and they probably was just not able to get this.
Did you just say he was used to a spa treatment?
At his house.
Diddy doesn't have his personal masseuse. Okay, you know what? Again, I'm going to put you in the corner with Crispin and let you rethink everything that you have just said. Okay, so Marjorie, what is it? Does Diddy have a little hair fit because he finds out he's got a superseding federal indictment? I mean, I'd have to lay down flat and be sedated if I had a federal indictment, number one, much less this big, fat, thick one I've got right here. And now it's been superseded, more added to it. Did he have a little hair fit? Because nobody can convince me that this was as Dr. Duane Hendricks actually fixed his mouth to say, a pre-arranged doctor's visit at what, 3 a.m.? Yeah, I'm talking about you, Hendricks. What about it, Marjorie? What's the truth?
Yeah, in terms of that, I mean, it's very uncommon. My sources have said that he has been seen by psychologists. So he is having a very hard time.
For his knee?
Obviously.
Wait a minute.
His knee.
He's seeing psychologists, but this is for his knee surgery?
What they said was that he took an MRI, and that's why they took him out in the darkness. But
by a psychologist?
Again, it's uncommon. No, not by psychologists. He's been seen by psychologists, allegedly, and other times. But for this particular moment, he was taking out for his knee. But from my understanding, he obviously is not used to being there in the jail.
Put her up, please.
That this was a bother.
Marjorie, I know you're just telling me what all of your sources are telling you, but he's not used to being in jail. Nobody is. Nobody wants to be in jail. Right. That's why they lock it and take away the key. Of course he's not used to being in jail. As a matter of fact, his life was fantastical. We had his PR person on a couple of weeks ago. Can I please see Marjorie? I want to see Marjorie Hernandez. There she is, Daily Mail. Marjorie, I don't know if you heard this, but Combs decides at 3 a.m. he wants cheesecake. And guess what? He gets it. Somebody actually goes tromping around Long Island, I think, or Manhattan, and finds him cheesecake. It has to be a particular cheesecake, and bring it back to him. Okay? Yeah, he's not used to being in jail, Marjorie. I agree with that. But to get a special trip out of the jail, so here are the choices. Okay, a diva fit when he finds out about this superseding indictment, has a spat with an inmate, nuts up, or he's afraid he's going to be Epstein'd. Listen.
Rap mogul Sean Diddy Combs is reportedly facing life-threatening danger behind bars, fearing a fate similar to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Since Epstein's apparent suicide, conspiracy theories have swirled that the financier was actually killed out of fear he would turn on his inner circle. With high-profile secrets on the line and a trial looming, sources claim Diddy is a prime target in prison as he's marked for death to prevent his testimony.
Fattis. I know you're on the other side of the fence, to put it mildly, as a criminal defense attorney, but can we talk about the serious issue of inmates being murdered behind bars? Okay, so I'm not the first one to report that Combs fears that he will be Epstein killed behind bars, and then it looks like a suicide, Fattis. What about it?
Nancy, this is a very real concern for a number of reasons. One, look at the nature of the charges. The first charge is racketeering. That alleges a criminal enterprise. That's more than one person. That's usually multiple affiliates. And so those folks are kind of in the crosshairs legally. They do not want Diddy to come and spill the beans or try to place blame on them or disclose activities in which they engage with that were criminal. So certainly they have a motivation. And potentially people on the inside, that would not be uncommon. And they do not want this information to come out in the open during trial. So could they target Diddy because of that? Certainly they could.
P. Diddy, a.k.a. Sean Combs, rushed from prison to an emergency room for an MRI after the accused rapper complains of knee pain.
Okay, I'm not going to keep stating the obvious that you only leave the MDC or any facility, CI, Correctional Institute, if you have a severe injury, like you are dying. So Dr. Dwayne Hendricks joining me, former associate warden at MDC, where Combs is being housed, former senior warden with the U.S. Department of Justice. Have you had time to pick whether it was SOP that he leave at, what, 2, 3 a.m. in the morning in the cover of darkness for an MRI, not life-threatening, or is there something else afoot?
No, I still believe that this was something that was pre-planned probably weeks in advance, especially planning with the hospital staff, because obviously most folks that are doing MRIs are working regular shifts between 9 to 5 or 10 to 6 in the evening. So apparently this operation was done. I mean, not an operation, but the planning to get him out to the hospital for this procedure was done in advance. And also, so other inmates wouldn't know that he was leaving, and also other staff wouldn't be able to call, you know, media or anyone else and say, hey, you know, P. Diddy's leaving the institution. He's headed to this hospital and then, you know, causing chaos in the facility, because at the end of the day, when other folks are there to take care of themselves and get their well-being in order, the last thing you want is a media circus at the hospital, because folks want to get a photo of Mr. Combs, because obviously no one's seen a picture
of
him.
So, yes. Right. So you said it was the inmates. Now you're saying it's people on the outside that might try to get a photo. Okay, I smell waffling. But I think I know why he went to the hospital. I think he had, let's just say he hyperventilated. He had a little diva fit when he found out about this.
A superseding indictment accusing Combs of trafficking more women. It also extends the time frame of his alleged racketeering conspiracy. Prosecutors first accused the mogul of using Combs Enterprises as a criminal organization as far back as 2008. But they now allege the illegal activity began 4 years earlier, meaning Combs' pattern of abuse has gone on uninterrupted for 2 decades. The amended indictment expands the list of drugs Combs and his associates are accused of distributing, which initially included cocaine, ketamine, and oxycodone. Now, methamphetamine and magic mushrooms have been added to the list of substances. Prosecutors also say he offered the women money and promises to help them advance their careers if they participated in his freak-offs.
The revised indictment alleges Combs employed kidnapping and arson. Prosecutors allege when Combs felt his authority or reputation was threatened, he and his associates responded with multiple arsons and kidnappings. Prosecutors claim during one such kidnapping, Combs was clearly armed with a gun.
Okay, joining me, renowned psychologist out of the Manhattan jurisdiction, TV radio trauma expert, consultant at KarenStark.com. Karen Stark joining us. Karen, that's enough to send me to the hospital in the cover of darkness. Did you hear all that? So, coincidentally, right at the same time he gets this extraordinary knee pain from an old injury, he gets a superseding indictment accusing him of trafficking more women. These are not additional charges. They're additional facts, Karen. Extending the time of the racketeering, in other words, the sex trafficking, to go back 2 decades. 2 decades of sex trafficking women against their will, drugging them and raping them on video. That's going to be the charges. So he hears about that. Now, wait for it, that he plied them with cocaine, ketamine, and oxycodone, methamphetamine, magic mushrooms, wait, and arson and kidnap. Yeah, that would make my knee hurt, to put it mildly, Karen Stark. What are psychosomatic injuries?
Psychosomatic injuries are injuries that feel like they're real, but actually they are not real. And it would make a lot of sense to me as a psychologist that he would come up with something like that or exacerbate the fact that he has knee injury when all of these charges are coming out about him, Nancy, because it shows that these things that he did were not isolated incidents. What you see is a pattern of abuse, control, power that was going on for decades and getting worse over time. So this guy is not just a narcissist, which is bad enough, but he's an antisocial personality. He's evil. And he was able to get away with it for a long time.
You know, the term, Karen Stark, malingering comes to mind. Could you explain what is malingering in your book? Basically, a psychologist's Bible, the DSM. What's malingering?
Malingering is that he's coming up with things that are not true. That he's saying he has knee pain or he has some other pain, and he keeps talking about it so that he can get away with things, that he can get out of there, that he could be hidden for a while.
Let's talk about that just one moment. Dr. Duane Hendricks joining me, former warden at MDC, where Combs is housed. So Dr. Duane Hendricks, just because your knee hurts, you get taken out of the jail. How many other inmates do you believe have knee pain? Probably all of them now.
Yeah, and if this was a fact that he was malingering, I mean, it was reported that during the holiday season, he had a spasm where he was talking about he was having heart palpitations or something like that, and he needed to meditate to calm down. In that case, they didn't let him out for that particular reason. But I honestly believe that
they didn't let him out because he, quote, needed to calm down and meditate.
Right.
How many other inmates are now going to claim, oh, my knee hurts? All of them. Why is he getting to go out? What, did they take him out in a limousine, Hendricks?
No, he took him out in a van, a secure van with him with shackles on his legs and Martin chain and black box around his hands. So
meditate.
He didn't go out on a field trip, I can tell you that. He went out.
Meditate, my rear end. Joining me right now, Bill Wolf, former detective in charge of human trafficking in Northern Virginia, author of Eradicating Human Trafficking, A Transformative Approach to Collective Impact, received the Presidential Medal for Extraordinary Efforts to Combat Trafficking. Wow. Bill Wolf joining me. So, Bill Wolf, too bad he didn't meditate over the last two decades when he is accused of sex trafficking. Can you explain what sex trafficking does to a victim, Bill Wolf?
Absolutely. You know, this guy is just pure evil and absolutely a narcissist. The fact that he can take people, humans, especially kids, young people, and exploit them for sex and profit, it's absolutely disgusting. And the victims have to live with this for the rest of their lives. I mean, can you imagine somebody that's sexually assaulted over and over and over again at the hands of somebody like P. Diddy, and then have to live with that, the trauma, for the rest of their lives? It's absolutely apprehensible.
The superseding indictment appears to include the allegation from fashion designer Brianna Bongolin that Diddy dangled her over the edge of a 17th floor balcony, listing it as just one example of how Combs used force to combat threats to his reputation. Just months after beating Cassie Ventura at the Intercontinental Hotel, Bongolin claims an intoxicated Combs let himself into Ventura's apartment looking for his girlfriend, but only found Bongolin, who had spent the night there. Enraged, Diddy grabbed Bongolin by the armpits, dangled her off the edge of the balcony, and threatened to drop her until Ventura happened to arrive home and put a stop to the incident.
Dangling a model off the 17th floor balcony? Okay, Marjorie Hernandez joining me, host and writer of The Trial of Diddy, a Daily Mail podcast. What?
That's one of the more shocking details. And Brianna, Banna, as she's known, she's actually a longtime friend of Cassie, and also a fashion designer. So her claims, she also had sued Diddy in the allegations that she was, again, dangled off a 17th floor. And Diddy essentially had threatened her life. And it was Cassie who essentially stopped him and saved her. But this is, again, a pattern. It shows a pattern of his complete control over a lot of these victims, alleged victims.
You know, Marjorie, I agree, complete control, because that was never reported to police. To Robert Crispin joining us, private investigator with Crispin Special Investigations, but former federal task force. Have you ever seen a defendant, a suspect, a perp, that is so drunk on power they can totally control their victim and they know they'll get away with it?
Yeah, I've seen it a lot of times. He has no filter when it comes to abusing women. And he is just an animal when it comes to abusing these women. And he thinks he's untouchable, which is why a lot of this stuff went unreported, because everyone was afraid to take down P. Diddy. Hence why these superseding indictments are such beautiful tools in the federal government. Because as the government starts to systematically go through all the witnesses, gaining new witnesses, new witness statements, going through all this evidence, going through these videos, they're starting to build their case and making it bigger and bigger and bigger. Hence why you're starting to see these things are coming forward. So the first indictment got him off the street, which should have happened way before it did. But now these superseding indictments, and I hence will probably feel that you're going to see probably one or two more coming as they start to talk to more witnesses and they start getting more evidence and more of the stuff in these videos starts coming out, because the timing's perfect for these superseding indictments. They've had time to talk to these witnesses. They've had time to look at these videos. Don't forget, they took a lot of footage from both these houses in Miami and in Los Angeles. It's all starting to come together. Diddy's world is crashing, and he is in an 8-foot cell. He's got no contact with the outside world. He's not used to this, and he's falling apart. And you're about to see a grown man who is an animal towards women become a crying dog in a jail cell. And he is a target in jail. He's a prize for somebody who's doing life who will kill him. If they give him the opportunity, that's a badge of honor. I killed P. Diddy. Sadly enough, there's a bunch of guards, but not every single person can be watched every single minute of the day. He's absolutely a target. Just like Epstein was a target.
You know what you just said, Crispin, is absolutely right. And it's hard for people that have not been in the system to understand that. And I don't want them to understand that. I don't want them to be part of our world. But there are people in behind bars that would consider it a great honor to murder Diddy. That would be, they go down in the history books, right? That's the way they think. It's not the way we think. That's the way they think. I'd like to get back to my original question regarding dangling the allegation that Marjorie Hernandez, Daily Mail, is telling us about dangling this model off a 17th floor balcony. Now, many people would argue, Eric Faddis for one, defense attorney, that why would he do that? That's in public view. He would never do that. Let's see that Cassie Ventura video where Sean Combs is running down the hall chasing Cassie. There she is. She's trying to sneak out of a freak off. She was sick of. Yeah, he doesn't care. There he comes in nothing but a towel. Oh, excuse me, and a pair of socks. And bam, bam. This is where our friends at CNN kick like she's a football, gathering up her stuff and dragging her back, according to her, to the freak off. She was sick of it. She wanted out. She did want to have sex with a group of men on video. And look at this. This is what happens. All in public view. So if you, Faddis, want to argue to me, well, he would never dangle somebody off a 17th floor. Because it's the public would see it. What about this, Faddis?
Well, Nancy, certainly the allegations are serious, but there are some questions that persist about this specific allegation of dangling. Look, it happened nearly a decade ago. My understanding is there was no police involvement at that time, no charges anyway. So it's coming, a decade late while it's all sensationalized to sort of vilify Diddy. And on top of that, the story doesn't make a ton of sense. Diddy comes to Cassie's house. Cassie's not there. So as a result, he dangles her friend off of a balcony. And then Cassie, all of a sudden, just happens to swoop in at exactly the right time. All of that just seems a little suspect to me, raises some eyebrows.
And really? I think it's going to come up really? Does it seem suspect to you that he would run out nothing but a towel and beat Cassie Ventura in a public hallway, right? If it weren't on video, you wouldn't believe it. You'd be making the same arguments then that you're making right now about dangling this model off a balcony, allegedly. Same argument. Second verse, same as the first, Fattis.
What we're talking about is evidence. We're talking about what's provable. So with the Cassie incident, surely there is a video. Now, there's been some editing to that video. If you look, she walks out without shoes, and then all of a sudden, near the elevator, she has shoes on. So it's a different incident.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
So check this out, yo. Justin, you ever seen the movie 48 Hours? Right now, he's having 48 hours with Diddy, him and his boy. They're having the times of their lives, like, where we hanging out and what we doing. We can't really disclose, but it's definitely a 15-year-old's dream. I have been given custody of him. You know, he signed to Usher.
I'm signed to Usher.
I had legal guardianship of Usher when he did his first album. I did Usher's first album. I don't have legal guardianship of him, but for the next 48 hours, he's with me. So, and we're going to go full crazy.
I'm going crazy.
That from Justin Bieber's YouTube page. Oh, dear Lord in heaven, why would Sean Combs have custody of Usher when he was a minor? And why would Sean Combs be handed over on a silver platter Justin Bieber? I mean, in that picture, he looks like he's 10 years old in that video from his own social. To Marjorie Hernandez joining us, West Coast News editor, Daily Mail, and host and writer of the Trial of Didi podcast. How has Justin Bieber and Trump Towers, but let's start with Bieber, been pulled into Sean Combs, a.k.a. Diddy's vortex?
Well, recent footage of Justin wandering around Los Angeles, he does not look well at all. And a lot of people have suspected it's because of his name being dragged into this drama with Diddy. And, you know, seeing those old videos now, it's really haunting to see such a young Justin essentially be turned over to Diddy and have Diddy again having control over such a young and impressionable Justin Bieber. And now it seems like all of this trauma is resurfacing. He does not look well in some of the footage that we've recently seen. There was also this drama about him unfollowing his wife on Instagram. Yet the interesting point, he still follows Diddy. So we're not sure what's going on there, but it does seem like he is unwell.
Marjorie, can you imagine going to the grocery store on your worst day? Let's just say no hair, no makeup, you're wearing sweatpants. You think you have sunglasses when you get in the car and a hat, but then you find out you don't. Your hair's sticking straight up. Of course, yours would never look like that because you're perfect. I would. And then to see somebody just swooping in and taking your picture and then selling it where you look horrible and you feel horrible. Let's just throw in that you have the flu. Why can't people leave Justin Bieber alone? I mean, he's just had a baby with his wife. That's a big transition. Okay, I had twins at once.
Definitely.
And they woke up at night, 12:30, 1:30, 3:30, and 4:30. And by the last 4:30 feeding, I just got up. And that was it for the rest of the day. They were not on the same schedule. That's a hard time, no matter how happy you are about the baby, no matter how much you love the baby and it's your whole world. It's still hard, okay? Much less working, as I know that he is. And so people get shots of him where he looks bad. Yes, he looks bad. But the Diddy thing on top of it, how has he gotten sucked into the Diddy vortex? Are people trying to claim he was part of the freak-offs? He's not named as a co-defendant or an unindicted co-conspirator or even a witness. I don't believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that he's on the witness list. So why is his name always connected with Sean Combs.
You know, there's allegations out there that he was also assaulted by Sean Combs. And that, you know, because of his proximity to Sean Combs for years and years, since he was a child, as we saw in that video, it is heartbreaking to see now that name is again being pulled back into this vortex, as you said, of Diddy. But there has been rumors that there are videos of him, Justin, being possibly assaulted by Combs.
That's a lot of possiblys, alleged rumors. I'm not paying any attention to any of that. I would just ask that people leave Bieber alone. In a new marriage, a new baby, working his career. Now he can't even go out and get a pack of cigarettes without being lambasted. But it's not just Bieber who's gotten sucked into this, I'm sure, against his will. Now Trump Tower is dragged in. Listen.
Doe alleges she attended a party hosted by Combs at the club, and group sex was part of the experience on three of the building's five floors. When Doe attempts to leave, Combs allegedly coerces her into going with him to the Midtown Manhattan Trump Hotel. On arrival, Doe is again given a drink she believes was laced with drugs, then raped by Combs' associates at his direction for several hours.
Okay. Some people may find that fantastical, but there is another witness who says essentially the same thing. Listen.
The second Jane Doe's lawsuit contains very similar allegations, sexual assaults stemming from parties at the Limelight. After a second Limelight party, Doe says Combs and a security guard drove her to the Trump Hotel, forced her to take drugs in the penthouse suite, then Combs instructed the security guard to sexually assault her.
Bill Wolf joining me, anti-sex trafficking expert and author of Eradicating Human Trafficking. Bill, this is what I find very striking. You have alleged victims separated in time and space saying the same thing. Okay. And it's just, a lot of people have attacked Tony Busby, the civil attorney who's representing a lot of these alleged victims. But I find it difficult to believe that these women would go and interview with the feds and stick with a lie. Okay, yet their statements are startlingly similar, which in my mind makes them credible. The same story over and over and over, Bill Wolf. It's very hard to argue this didn't happen with so many witnesses saying the very same thing.
I completely agree. I can tell you from my experience as both an investigator and working with so many survivors, you know, sometimes these stories sound fantastical, right? Like there's no way that that could have happened. But the reality is in the world of sex trafficking, these things happen over and over and over again. And I think you're absolutely right. It lends a lot of credibility when you're hearing the same tactics and methods of control and abuse and torture that are being used by the trafficker over and over again. I mean, I've heard so many stories from survivors. I mean, things as crazy as taking victims and putting them in mini fridges in hotels as a form of punishment and closing the door so it was airtight, right? These things, people can't even fathom that these things happen. But unfortunately, in the United States of America, this is happening every single day.
Attorney Mark Agnifilo says prosecutors are being ridiculous. The two women in question were not prostitutes, but former girlfriends. Combs and Agnifilo say they look forward to proving in court that no one was trafficked and no one participated in sex acts they did not consent to.
So the defense here is they were not prostitutes. That's the defense. Robert Crispin, how many criminals have we helped put behind bars? And they always do the same thing over and over. Yes, this alleged victim is a male, but it's the same story. I went to a party, or I went to further my career. I had a drink. I passed out. I wake up, my rear end hurts. That's what happens over and over again.
Yeah, that's the common theme, isn't it? And they're all pretty much the exact same. And, you know, Nancy, you've been in a grand jury. I've been in a grand jury. We've sat in them. And listen, there was a lot of testimony from each one of these witnesses to that jury panel that was very convincing that what happened to them was criminal. And what happened to them showed that this racketeering or RICO thing started well before the indictment states. So it brought it back now to what, 2004? So these people just didn't go in and say one or two things. Grand jury is a lot of people, and you do a lot of talking, and you have to convince these people that it actually happened, and they rate you, and they look at you, and they see if they believe you. They don't just listen to you.
But I'm so glad you mentioned that this indictment, it's not just the feds, it's from a federal grand jury. And as you said, you've sat in, I've conducted grand jury proceedings before for years, and there's somewhere between 20 and 40 grand jurors, secret grand jurors, and they are the ones that say yay or nay to an indictment. They either hand down a true bill or a no bill, indict or don't indict. And they have the opportunity, and they do it, of questioning each and every witness. And they're not questions you can prepare for. Like, you can put up a cross and a direct, because you're in control of those questions. When you open up the floor to 40 people from all walks of life, there's no telling what question they're going to ask. And the witness has to respond then, contemporaneously with the question. They can't go, oh, can I ask my lawyer? No, you have to answer then. And they had that opportunity before handing down the superseding indictment. Isn't that true, Crispin?
Absolutely. And how many people have testified in front of the grand jury and they come back with a no true bill? So, you know, or we're not indicting, I should say. But obviously that didn't happen here. But yes, you're right. There's a lot of people, a lot of talking, a lot of questions, a lot of credibility checking. These people are reading these people as well. They're everyday people just like you and I and everybody else out there. And people aren't stupid. They can look at people and they can read people. And they're in grand jury for, not for 5 minutes, they're in there for a little bit of time. And these people are looking at them and they're sizing them up because they need to render a true bill or a no true bill. They need to authorize a superseding indictment or not. So My opinion in what just happened with these new witnesses and bringing this back another 4 years, these are some pretty damn good, credible witnesses.
I tell you this, I bet he did get knee pain. We wait as justice unfolds. Goodbye, friend. This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.